Well, good morning, guys. Golly, Tim, like, I'm super thankful that you've invited me out again, which means the first time I didn't screw up too bad. So that's good. No, Tim and I, we've been great friends for a number of years, and we've been through many things together. So I am deeply, deeply grateful for you, my friend. Love you with all my heart. So before we get going here, I want to go ahead and just get right to the word. So if you've got your Bibles, whether it's digital, paper form, let's go ahead and get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to be in the 13th verse. We're going to get right there. So first off, I got to be really honest with you guys. There's a part of my story that I'm not exactly super excited about. There's a part of my life that I never thought would actually be a part of my life. And it's that I'm divorced. I just want to sit there. Man of God, pastoring many people, walking with people in their stuff, I'm divorced. That word carries a lot of weight. Pain, regret, shame, loneliness, and questions. Which brings me to this verse, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. I would invite you guys to stand with me as I read that aloud here. Corinthians 13 says this, "Now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." You may be seated. So divorce. Some of you guys know exactly what I mean. Some of you, that's not the exact word that you'd use, but you have something similar, whether it's a broken relationship, it's a child that has walked out, or a family member who has stopped talking to you, or a best friend that is no longer a friend, right? I'll tell you this, in the middle of my divorce, I had to face a very hard question. How do I continue to follow Jesus when I have been hurt and my heart is broken by somebody? And I remember coming to 1 Corinthians. I remember coming to 1 Corinthians 13, not preparing for a sermon, not preparing to get in front of you guys or anything, but because I needed something firm. I needed that solid ground, right? And I saw those famous words, right? "Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." And I remember thinking to myself, why love? Right? What is it about love that sets it higher, that makes it greater than my faith and my hope? I mean, I was full of faith, right? I was still believing in God. I still believed in everything that he had said, and I believed in Jesus and what he had done. And I was holding on to the hope, right? I was holding on to that promise that he has for us. But man, that love, that was really hard. It didn't come easy. Especially not that biblical love, right? That love that is forgiveness. The love that sees a person not in pain, but it's the love that lets go. And let's be real, loving people isn't easy. It's easy to love people who love you right back. And it's easy to love when things are good, and it's easy to love when it's easy and it's fun. But what about when it gets hard? What about when they've hurt you? What about when you don't get an apology? And what about that forgiveness feeling like it's actually giving them a free pass? What about that kind of love? Let me just read 1 Corinthians right out to you, right in the fourth verse here. Paul writes, "Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, and does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. That's the love we're looking for, right? It's the love we all deeply desire. That kind of love that doesn't walk out on us. It doesn't hold a grudge. It doesn't tell us when we've been wrong. And it doesn't hold it against us. And it doesn't ever get tired of giving us a second chance. But the problem is, we live in a world that confuses love with temporary emotion. Right? We say things like, I love tacos and I love you in the same sentence. We ghost people when it's getting tough and uncomfortable. We cancel people instead of forgiving them. We value faith for power, hope for security. But love? Love gets lost in the shuffle. And here's the truth, guys. Our souls crave most that real, sacrificial, committed love. The kind of love that sticks with you even when you're at your worst. And that kind of love, we can't find it in ourselves. We can't find it in others. We can only find it in God. Let's go ahead and turn to Scripture and see what Paul has to say, why love is the greatest. The first point for you guys, if you guys are taking notes, I want you to write this down. Love reflects the nature of God. See, Paul says love is the greatest because love reflects the nature of God. 1 John 4 says this, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Love isn't something God just does, right? It's not something that he has to put effort into. It's not something that he has to make sure when he wakes up in the morning, he's like, I gotta love first. That's just who he is. That is all God is. He is love. It's his very nature. And that's why Paul says it's greater than faith or hope, because it is the essence of him. Faith and hope are what we offer in response to God. But love is what we get when we sacrifice ourselves to him. It's that receiving of the love that we get to go out and love others. Right? We love others because he first loved us. He has, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he wasn't writing to newlyweds. He wasn't writing to a bride and groom standing at an altar. He was writing to a church that was fighting. They were backstabbing each other. Then they were dividing. There was division. And he writes this, if I speak in tongues of angels but have not love, I'm a resounding gong. And if I have faith that I can move mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And what that means is you can be spiritual all you want. You can be powerful, and you can even be correct. You can be right. But without love, you just as well be lost, powerless, and wrong. The second thing that Paul highlights for us why love is the greatest is love covers what we want to expose. Above all, maintain constant love is what 1 Peter says. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sin. I just want to pause on that word right there, above all. Okay, above all. That means first. That means the highest priority. That means the most important. Why? Because love does something remarkable. It covers sin. Not in a way that ignores truth, but in a way that chooses grace over grudges. I mean, it's natural to see the wrong in people. And it's natural to see what's been the wrong that's been done to you. Trust me, I've been there. In the middle of my divorce, I wanted to defend myself. I wanted to make people see my side. And I be honest, I didn't want people to think like I was fully responsible. Right? I wanted to make sure people knew that it wasn't just me. But God challenged me in that, and he said, will you cover with love what you want to expose in pain? And I sat there for a long time. Will I cover with love what I want to expose in pain? See, what I learned was covering doesn't mean excusing. It means choosing mercy and refusing to let my pain and the sorrow and the suffering define me. Love covers not because sin doesn't matter, but because people do. Forgiveness isn't about pretending it didn't happen. It's about acknowledging it happened and moving forward in faith and hope and most importantly, love. Choosing to love even though it's hard. And here's the catch. We can't do it on our own. We have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. The third thing on why love is greatest is love leaves the legacy that lasts. I'm just going to come right back to our 1 Corinthians 13 verse. And now these things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Paul closes this powerful chapter with a perspective-shifting truth. Love is eternal. We live in a world that celebrates achievements, trophies and awards, acquisition of property and accomplishments. But when all of that fades, when the titles go away, what's left? Truly, what's left? It can only be one thing. Love. Because someday we won't need faith, right? Someday our faith will be fulfilled because we'll be in his presence. And one day we won't need hope because all of the promises will have come true and they'll be fulfilled. But love lasts forever. It's eternal because then we get to be with God, with love, eternally. Let me put it to you this way. When you get to the end of your life, people won't say things like, he was always on time. She managed her emails like a pro. He never missed a meeting. They won't say those things. In fact, they'll say things like, he made me feel seen. You know, she listened when nobody else would. He forgave me when I didn't deserve it. And she loved like Jesus. That's the legacy of love, guys. And here's something else I've realized. The moments where love costs you the most are the moments people will remember the longest. Let me bring that closer. I've learned that legacy isn't built through perfection, but it's built in the persistence of love. I'm going to say that again. It's not built in the perfection, but it's built in the persistence of love. Even broken stories can become beautiful when love's that foundation. Even when things fall apart, when people come together and they hold on to each other, not by force, but by faith. You don't need a stage. You don't need a spotlight. You don't need a camera. You don't need a platform. You don't need an audience. All you have to do is love well. Because in the end, love is what will last. And here's a question that only you can answer. Is there someone in your life right now that you need to love again? Even if they don't deserve it. Is there someone you need to forgive? Not because they didn't say, or not because they said, I'm sorry. Not because they're all of a sudden changed and they're different. Right? Not because of anything that they could ever do. But you. Today, make the decision that you need to forgive them. It's because you don't want to carry that pain anymore. That you don't want to carry that hurt. Is there someone? Is there a relationship where you've been withholding love? Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's your kids or your ex-spouse, a parent, a friend, a relative. What if love became our first response instead of our last resort? Like maybe today God's actually nudging you and telling you, let love be greater. Love over being right. Love over the pain of what's happened. Love over the fear of being hurt again. And I just got to be honest with you guys. I wear my heart on my sleeve. Because I know that if I lead with my love, others around me will see it. And that definitely means I'm going to get hurt again. That means that people are going to have access right to my heart and it's going to break. But it's so much greater than the alternative. You don't have to feel love to choose it. We get that confused so often. You don't have to feel forgiveness to start walking in it. And I'll be honest, throughout my divorce, that was not easy to do. But it all starts with a choice. And the Holy Spirit gives you strength that's not of your own. What would it look like if we, as a church body, chose love like that? If we became known for not being loud, but for being lovely, lovely and loving. Not for what we're against, but what we're for. Not for having all of the answers, but for offering real grace. Let's be the kind of community where people feel the love of God before they ever hear about him. Because in the end, when the sermon's over, when the worship fades, when the programs are gone, only one thing will remain. Love. Let's be a church, a people, that reflect the greatest thing. Love. Father God, thank you. Thank you so much for the love that you didn't have to give us. Thank you for not leaving us. Thank you for not being distant. But thank you most of all for being right there with us. You know our pains. You know our hurts. And you call us to this radical love because you are that radical love. Lord, lead us today, guide us today and this week to those that need this love. God, whether it's a brother or a sister, it's an ex-spouse, a partner, a parent, a co-worker, our kids, our anything, any person that we might not look at immediately with love. God, guide us in that love. Guide us to be you to those people. And Lord, forgive us for those times that we didn't love first. Let this be our mission today and for the rest of our lives to step forward in love, to step out in faith, and to hold on to your love or your hope so that your love can go forward. Jesus, we love you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.